Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome, it's Friday, and you're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness Friday edition. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Hey, Tim.
Hey.
Well, you get a little bit less work this week, Tim.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, a little bit of less work. People don't realize this. On Fridays, when we are doing the Theater of the Mind, that segment alone can take Tim 4 or 5 hours to do right and make sure that it's up. But this week, I wanted to give you a little break, Tim. You've been working hard. You've been dealing with illness and starting to recover. So we're going to take this week off for your Theater of the Mind. But I wanted to go to the guy, the man with the plan, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One of our favorite guests from Darkness Radio. One of your favorite and most requested guests from Darkness Radio is joining us this evening for the next hour. And he's brought around 5 stories to share with us, Tim. He's outshining our Theater of the Mind.
I guess.
Bringing us 5 stories that he's prepared for us to share on the air tonight. So we're going to be doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, our good friend, Dark Waters. Dark, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, guys. I'm happy to be back with you guys again. And I guess I should say Happy New Year's because I haven't talked to you guys in a while. Hope all is going well for you.
It is going extremely well with the kickoff of the new show and getting things underway. And we had so many people reach out to us and they say, you got to bring Dark Waters over to Beyond the Darkness. We need to hear some Dark Waters. So we thought this would be a great way to wrap up our week and have you come on and share some of the stories that you've been collecting, because you've been researching and investigating these claims of the paranormal for quite a while. So for our new listeners that have just found Beyond the Darkness and our show, Dark, give them a little bit of background. How long have you been interested in the paranormal?
Well, I've been interested in the paranormal my whole life because I've been bothered by paranormal things my entire life. And so it's been since I was 12 years old when I had my first paranormal encounter, which thanks to you, Dave, I share with the world on Coast to Coast again. Thank you. And so what I do now is I have the Dark Waters channel. It's a YouTube channel where what I do is I talk to the public. So I'm open to the entire world. I have a public phone number where they call me. And we hold conversations, and then I recreate their paranormal experiences and encounters. And I do it in a dramatic audio format where you can actually relive what happened to that person. And that's what people are getting a taste of tonight. So I'm happy to be here with you guys, and I'm very excited and want to tell you guys congratulations for making a successful transition. And I'm 100% on board with you guys. Anything you guys ever need from me, I got your back.
I know. Geez, Tim, when we reached out at the beginning of this and said, hey, Darkness Radio listeners, if you want more Darkness Radio, we need you to write in.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Waters put out a video call to his entire force of listeners as well and said, hey, our buddy Dave at Darkness Radio is asking for a little help. And they were part of the massive onslaught of emails
that
Podcast One got. So we want to personally thank you. Your listeners, our friends, are a big reason why we're now 5 days a week. So it's exciting to be here and doing this and making you a part of the new world with us. When you start researching these stories and collecting them, do you find that there's a common thread through this? Are you getting more like monster stories, more ghost stories? What's the mainstay that seem to be coming your way nowadays?
I get it's almost like a buffet of horror. I get a little bit of everything. I really, really do get a little bit of everything. And I would say the most, when you talk about the most common thing, really is the ghost stories. They're more common than anything. But when my phone rings, I can get because the call could be about anything. Some people are just saying hello. Some people are actually having paranormal activity at that very moment. I've had people call me while they were having dog man activity. I've had all kinds of stuff. So it just depends on, you know, who the person is and what they're calling for. Some people call for advice, and it just, it goes across the spectrum. And you know what I wanted to share with you, Dave, real quick?
What's that?
Remember I told you about my grandmother, right? And this is going to be juicy. So guys, ladies and gentlemen, buckle up and get ready, get some coffee because we finna jump and go real dark. Remember I told you about my grandmother, right? We
yes.
talked about that and my experience when I was 12 years old, right?
Right, yes.
So recently, I had to reach out to my family. Remember back then I told you, hey, man, I don't associate with those people because they do some bad things. So recently
right.
I had to reach out to my family. Turns out that one of my aunties, which is one of my more favorite aunties, I had four of them. Three of them I really don't like. This one was always kind of cool.
Right.
She had to move away from the house with her sons because she was going through depression. You know, her body was breaking down. She was having all these different illnesses. When she moved away from the house of my grandmother, she got better. Well, another auntie who's married into the family goes to my grandmother's house. They start cleaning that bedroom that my aunt was in, right? And they move the bed around. They start sweeping up. And they find in this corner of the room, David, and I lie to you not, there's a hole cut into the wall. And in this hole in the wall, they find a poppet. And if you don't know what a poppet is, most people call it a voodoo doll, but that's what a poppet is. It's a teddy bear. The heart's cut out. It has this little bandana tied on it. It has these needles stuck in the knees, needles stuck in, like, the private area, needles stuck in the chest, needles stuck in the heart, the neck, the back. And so this auntie who's married into the family freaks out, completely and totally freaks out, because everybody knows my family has this kind of thing to it, this thing of ours, right? She freaks out, and they leave, come back to New Orleans from where they were, and she's like, I'm never going there again. I don't ever want to go there again because every time I go there, I feel like I'm in danger. Every time I go out, I feel like something's going on. And you got to remember, my grandmother's 98 years old. She's outlived my mother and four other of her children. And it's so crazy because now that I'm talking to some of them again, I'm getting more pieces to the puzzle, and it's really, really frightening. I'm talking about stuff like, and I didn't go to this funeral, but I get this from my auntie, the same auntie who found the poppet. She starts to tell me about one of my uncles who passed. This guy got diagnosed with prostate cancer and moved into his intestines and into his stomach. The doctors told him that it moves supernaturally, right? So he dies. His son comes in town, right? His son, who's gay, comes in town. He's on the pulpit talking about his father. My grandmother starts laughing while he's talking. Now, this is a funeral, Dave. This woman's laughing. They thought she was crying. She starts laughing. And she says, get his gay behind off that podium. Tell him sit down. This is at her own son's funeral. And this is her, technically, that makes him her grandson.
Oh.
So, I mean, these are the type of things that this woman's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to the point to where a lot of family members are just afraid, man. They're afraid because people are getting sick. All kinds of crazy stuff is going on, which just affirmed the fact that I made the right decision to disassociate myself from, you know, that side of the family.
Right.
So I wanted to give you an update on that because it's wild and it's crazy. And it's amazing because people think I'm joking about it. Like sometimes the Dark Waters family, like, oh, this couldn't really have happened, da 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 da. But it's like real life stuff that, you know, that I deal with. Now that I'm talking to a few of the family members more, they're starting to share even more stuff with me. And it's crazy. I mean, it's absolutely insane. But I wanted to give you an update on that. And I figured people would get, you know, joy out of my pain. So,
no, not our listeners, not our listeners. Hey, I want to ask you something. I mean, it's you live in the New Orleans area, and it's always been rich in stories of Rougarou and voodoo and vampires and ghostly lore and legend. But I've also been reading a lot lately that places that have dealt with a catastrophe seem to reawaken and the paranormal almost jumps exponentially in activity. And I'm wondering if since Katrina, have you seen a much larger impact with paranormal in places where maybe there was no paranormal before?
I can't answer that question accurately because New Orleans has always had paranormal stuff happen.
Right.
I can say that. So, if you even look at a map of the city of New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
there are historical things that have taken place in the city culturally that have led to hauntings, like whether it be at Sabiza's place where it was a speakeasy and where Robert E. Lee, Huey Long was, or whether it's in the Seven Ward of New Orleans, where the Mardi Gras Indians always had their tribal wars where people were murdered and heads were chopped off, or whether it's Uptown where we had a serial killer for a while. Like, there's always, there's so many things that have happened in the city that lead to and kind of make it kind of ooze this paranormal activity that it's always been there. Now, I've heard a lot more stories from my city now that people in the city have caught on to the fact that I'm doing it. But to, and I can't accurately answer that question. I would, the way I would answer it is, I think that this city has just always been what it is. I mean, it's not like, if you take a city that never really had any paranormal activity, it doesn't have the hoodoo, voodoo backgrounds and all the mixture of cultures, and you have a disaster there, then maybe you'll see a huge difference. But a city like ours that's always had it, where the paranormal is the norm, where people tell you, my secretary was telling me about her being in her grandmother's house and everybody knowing the house is haunted and her walking down the hallway and a spirit bumped into her and knocked her against the wall. And she felt it, but it was nobody there. And her grandmother used to always say, yeah, this house is haunted, baby, but don't worry about it. They're not going to bother you if you don't bother them. That's New Orleans, you know, so it's not like I don't think it's anything new. I just think it is what it is, you know, it is what it is.
I got you. All right. We've got some new stories, and I want to make sure we can weave them throughout the show. So let's get started with one that is something we've all been afraid of, Dark. We all, growing up as children, we all have a fear that there's something living in our closet or that there might be a monster under our bed.
As a child, I grew up in Macon, Georgia. My entire family is from Mississippi. However, due to a strain in our family relationships, both my parents moved to Georgia. When I was 11 years old, just a typical kid. The world was my oyster. What I mean is that there was so much for me to learn, and I loved exploring. I was an adventurous kid, spending many hours outdoors roaming the woods and fields near our home. It's a Saturday evening when I first had an encounter with this entity that decided to follow me home. It was at this small creek in the woods, the backside of my family's house. Yeah, it was just me alone. Picking up rocks, throwing them in the water, kicking dirt, kicking up dust, just doing what a kid does. I had been coming out to this spot every Saturday and never had anything weird happen. Suddenly, I felt these cold spots around me. It was weird, because the first one I felt was as I drew my arm back to throw a rock. It was almost like I stuck my hand in a freezer. Then that same cold spot moved, and my whole body began to feel chilled. Now keep in mind, this is in Georgia, and it's summertime. It's 89 degrees outside, but my body was cold. Next, I began to feel like I was being surrounded on all sides. But looking around, I couldn't see anything, but I sure felt it. This activity was enough to send me running home. I wasn't playing that. Now, later that night after supper, my mom decided she was going to force me to go to bed early because I refused to eat my string beans. I just didn't like them. Now, as I lay there in my room, that same feeling returned to me. But this time, it wasn't necessarily that something was watching me. It was stronger. It was this feeling of dread and doom, like someone or something was actually there with me. I sat there for a moment trying to figure out what it was, why I was having this feeling, and that's when my bed shook. I don't mean my bed shook like the movie Exorcist and it levitated off the ground, but it definitely shook. In fact, I heard the headboard hit the wall. So scared, I stood up in the bed. In my mind, the plan was going to go like this. I could jump directly from my bed, land right at my closed bedroom door, open it up, and shoot down the hallway to my parents' room. If this bed moved one more time, that's exactly what I was going to do. So as I stood there, freaking out, the covers began to move. as if someone was pulling them from the foot of my bed. And that's when my plan went into motion. I leaped from that bed, landing right at the door to my room. When I looked back, there was what looked like this arm extending from under the bed. It was pale and white, and it was grasping my covers. Needless to say, I bolted out of that door into my parents' room, loudly proclaiming, "There's a monster in my room. There's a monster in my room." When my father and I went back to check, all the sheets were missing from the bed, along with the pillowcases. And looking under the bed, my father found them tied into a knot. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about my dad. He wasn't like a typical father who would lock you back in your room. My dad was a believer, and he understood that there were things out here in this world that we just couldn't comprehend. So as my mother insisted that I be a big boy and go back into my bedroom and go to sleep alone, my father and I slept on the sofa for the next 2 nights. And every day he would pray in my room. By the fourth night, I was able to sleep in my bedroom with no problem. And finally, that's when he told me what happened. My father said that he believed that a spirit had followed me home from that creek, and I should avoid that area and never go back there again. Put your lights on.
That's a good one. You always deliver for us, Dark. Thank you for sharing that. We've got more stories as the show progresses this evening from Dark Waters and the Dark Waters family. With the stories that you get, are there stories that you end up talking to somebody and you get done and you end up looking over your shoulder all night because you're terrified of what you've just heard?
Absolutely. The demonic stories are something that really, really bother me. They really do, because I try to avoid them at all costs. But what happens is sometimes I'll start talking to a person, and if there's this warm up phase when you first like building rapport, and so they'll tell you a little bit. Like just recently, I talked to a gentleman. He said, "Well, you know, I've been hearing things. You know, I heard scratching on the walls in my house. My wife and I were hearing it." His wife is Yugoslavian, and he's American, and he's like, "Well, I heard scratching on the wall." And then as we talk more and more, it turns into, I start asking a question. It's like, "Well, have you ever been touched?" "Yeah, you know, I've been touched." And then they're kind of hesitant. And then we keep going further. Turns out they've been scratched on the neck, and their wife's been scratched on the leg, and there's 3 scratch marks. And then it starts to unravel. It's like an onion, layers of an onion that you kind of peel open. And then when you get to almost to the core, you realize that this person is having demonic activity. And then sometimes the demon name comes out. And that's when I try my best in the most respectful manner to back out of it and refer them to a demonologist, because every time I've ever dealt with something or someone who has something demonic, I start having to look over my shoulder. I start getting these weird, creepy feelings. Or my sons will say, "Hey, Dad, you know, I don't know who you talk to lately, but, you know, the house don't feel the same. We need you to light a candle. We need you to pray," and blah, 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 blah. So that's the one thing I really, really try to avoid. But unfortunately, it's very hard to, because people don't just come out and tell you, "Yeah, I'm under attack by a demon." People who aren't lying, they don't do that. People who are really afraid, it takes a long time for them to come out and tell you what's going on. And so you kind of get lulled into it as you're trying to figure out the truth. And then it's like, bam, you get hit with a hammer. Okay, you're dealing with a demon, and this is not what I want to deal with. So that's the scariest thing. And it really bothers me, especially based on my childhood experiences. I try to avoid it as much as possible, but it seems like it's almost unavoidable.
Is there, aside from the demonic realm, is there a type of ghost story that scares you more than others? You know, Ruguru, voodoo stories, any of that, that really kind of gets under your skin and leaves you kind of freaked out and constantly unnerved?
The Ruguru is the one that freaks me out the most. And it really, because people don't believe it's real. Ruguru / dog man, you know, you can throw them all in a bucket together. People don't believe that it's real. But the people who I talk to who have those encounters, those are the people that's pretty much the most shook up, secondary to someone who's had a demonic encounter. And then with New Orleans having sightings on the outskirts of the city itself, not like 50 miles away, I'm like literally on the outskirts of the city. That one really bothers me a lot, you know, because I move around the city a whole lot, and I'm in every neighborhood, every area. I got friends everywhere. That's the one that bothers me more than anything, because that people who have those encounters, they're never, ever the same again after it. You know, they're just not the same. So, yeah, I would say the Rougarou. Then from there.
Now, is that like a werewolf story, would you say? Or is it like its own beast? It doesn't transform from human to monster or monster to human. It's always in this giant kind of bipedal wolf state.
That's my belief. My belief that it is what it is. You know, some people believe that the Rougarou is a person who was cursed and that you got to cut them, I think stab them with iron or whatever to make them go back to being a human. The people that I've talked to have had Rougarou / we call it Rougarou. Other people call it Dogman, who had those encounters, like in Homer, where they see it consistently and religiously. It's a upright walking dog type creature that's bipedal. I mean, that's it. You know, it's not like it's a person who's changing in the middle of the night, like Underworld, where they're growing a snout and claws are growing out. It is what it is. It's an independent creature that's that way 24/7.
We've got such a rich and diverse culture in New Orleans. Is there a specific angle that some of these creatures you believe originated from? Is it the French, the Creole, the Native American inhabitants? Where do you think most of these monsters sprang to life?
I think that it's all a result of the mixture of the cultures. What makes New Orleans is unique is the fact that there's so many cultures mixed here together. According to legends, that the Rougarou came over with the French settlers, and that's when they first started seeing them. But when you go back and you actually search and you look, the Native Americans had been talking about upright walking wolf-like creatures long before the city was settled. So I think it's a part of this area as a whole. I think it's just an anomaly, not necessarily an anomaly to New Orleans, but I think there's I call New Orleans a paranormal gumbo, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I think it's just a simple fact of the mixture of the cultures, the people that are here, the lives that have been lost here. I think it's kind of like a place where this paranormal energy is drawn and attracted to. As many deaths as we've had here, from wars to natural disasters. I think it's drawn to this place, and a lot of stuff is drawn to this city.
Are there encounters where people are actually physically being wounded by these dogmen, or are they much like Bigfoot? They're kind of cursory on the outer fringes and they're stalking or watching you, but never really physical encounters.
No, I've had people recently who've had encounters where they were wounded by dogmen. The one that I've done the most research on, which was the Siege of Rocket Ranch, and that's an older story. People were actually killed in that encounter. But as of recent, I've had encounters where people were wounded, people were hurt, people were knocked down, people were pretty much trampled over. But it's not as prevalent as one would think it is. You would think that if you have an encounter with this creature, that every time there's an encounter with this creature, that somebody's going to die. It's not that way. 90% of the time, they end up scared out of their mind or out of their wits. But that other 10% of the time, no, I would say 95%, they're scared out of wits. The other 5%, which is a small portion, something happens to that individual.
Well, let's do this. We need to go to break in a few moments. But before we do, let's take another look at one of Dark Water's favorite stories. Now, it's Dogman at My Window.
I was waking to that sound at 4:30 a.m. It was loud. It sounded like something from a horror movie. Have you ever felt like suddenly you were the main character in a movie? When things around you seem just so damn strange, you think to yourself, this just can't be real. Well, that is how I was feeling that stormy morning in July 2014. Something was on my property, and it wasn't normal. Honestly, I was too scared to go take a look outside. So I decided to wait until daybreak to take a look around. When the sun rose, got on my 4x4 and drove around the property looking to see what I could find. That's when I first saw the tracks of this creature. Canine prints, the size of both of my hands combined. Whatever this thing was, it was big. And those tracks led all the way up to my bedroom window. As the day progressed, my son-in-law stopped over by the house to have lunch and help me with a few tasks. Against my better judgment, I decided to tell him what I heard. And that's when he said the strangest thing to me. He said it sounded like I had a dog man on my property. And that was the very first time I ever heard the term dog man. And to be honest with you, I thought it was complete bull. That was until 2 weeks later. I was in the stable with the horses. And I began to hear that same howling sound again. It was far off in the distance. But I noticed that the animals were clearly intimidated. Thinking a smart thing to do would be to lock up and get back to the house as fast as possible, I closed and locked the stable door and headed back on my 4x4. Now, the ride to my house is about 150 yards away. And at night, the area between my house and the stable is pitch black. However, the lights were on in the house and the back porch light was on. Now, as I'm riding towards the house, I noticed something. First, I thought this was a person just walking around the back side of the house. But when it got under the light, screw me, man. This was not a person. It was some kind of creature. It was 7 feet tall, and it was all black. This thing had the largest shoulders I'd ever seen. It was muscular. I mean, super muscular. I slowed to a complete stop waiting to see what it would do. And that's when it turned and looked in my direction. Sweet baby Jesus. This thing had the head of a wolf. And that is an understatement. It had a gigantic wolf head. I'd never seen anything like it. Now, at this point, I can honestly say, I'm not sure if the fear got the best of me or if this thing was actually coming to get me, but I cut the wheel on a 4x4, making a U-turn, and floored it back to the stables. As I was turning, I saw this thing drop on all fours and begin moving in my direction. And from that moment on, I didn't look back. I was just too scared. Remember when I told you it was like a horror movie? That was the point when it really set in. I was driving full speed, and everything inside of me knew that this creature was chasing me. When I got about 20 to 30 yards away from the door to the stables, I took my foot off the gas and literally jumped out while it was still moving. Ran to the door, unlocked it, and quickly locked myself inside. Then I climbed to the attic to look out and see if I could find this creature, but it was nowhere in sight. However, my horses were going crazy. There's no words that can really accurately describe the way I felt for the next few minutes. But if I had to put it into words, I felt like I was going to die. And over the next 2 hours, my horses would settle down for 20 minutes or so. And then the ones on the right side of the barn would just go crazy and start bucking. As soon as they settled down, the ones on the left side of the barn would start bucking and going crazy. It was almost like this thing was circling the barn, intentionally scaring them. Finally, it all stopped. I wasn't leaving that barn until daylight. And when the sun rose, I got out of there and headed back to the house. I've seen that thing several times since that very night. My property is currently up for sale. I'm moving as soon as I can. And if you ever have one of these things near you, I suggest you do the same.
We're back here on Beyond the Darkness, your home for the best in paranormal talk radio now, 5 nights a week on Podcast One, part of the Jericho Network. And remember, if you listen to us on iTunes, do us a favor. Make sure you rate and review, rate and review, rate and review. Always be rating and reviewing. Go on to iTunes. Let them know what you think of our show. Rate and review, because the more you do it, the more people are exposed to our show and we can continue to grow this massive and amazing army of darkness. Thank you very much for doing that and keeping us in your thoughts. I also want to make a quick mention here. We've got something important going on this week, and we really need you guys to step up. We are doing right now this it's a survey, and it's an important part of our show, because if you want to continue to keep the podcasts free and down to very minimal ads, then what we need you to do are take this survey. It's the responses actually help align the appropriate advertisers right to our audience so that you hear stuff that will interest you and some of the best deals out there. The survey is very short. It's completely anonymous. So you don't have to give your name. You don't have to get into all of that stuff. It takes no more than 5 minutes long as well. So if you have 5 minutes to help us out, if you're sitting on the toilet and you're looking for something to do and kill a little time, that's a way to do it. If you're at work bored and you're looking for something to kill 5 minutes, that'd help us out. And it's very easy. You can go to podcastone.com, click on the survey banner. And then just fill it out. And even if you filled out a survey in the past, we thank you, but we still need you to do it again. And when you do that, again, all of us here at Beyond the Darkness and Podcast One, that's a huge favor to us because it goes a long way to let them know about what type of people are listening to our show. And they don't believe it, but I've told them there is every walk of life, every belief system, race, religion, creed, sexuality that listens to the paranormal and is fascinated by it. So help us and expand their mental horizons and ours by going and filling out that survey. And remember that all of us here at Beyond the Darkness really appreciate you guys giving us a help and for supporting our program and taking the time to complete the survey. We've had you guys turn out in droves to help us before. Let's get a whole ton of people to respond to this survey and show them just how strong the Army of Darkness is. Again, check out podcastone.com and click on the survey banner to be a part of that. All right, we're back. Our good buddy Dark Waters on the line with us as we're talking about some of the creepier stories he's collected and some of the more fascinating tales that he's put together for us over the last couple of months since we've had him on Darkness Radio. This is his first visit of many, hopefully, for Beyond the Darkness. When you're going through these kind of stories, do you look for specific topics? Do you look for ones that you haven't covered before? Or do you just take whatever is just a solid story, whether it's similar to other ones you've done before? How exactly do you cull through the massive list of information people give you to choose what you're going to represent on your show?
I take the most solid story with the people that I'm able to build the strongest rapport with. And the way I do that is either I talk to them for a significant amount of time, or I talk to their significant others and children enough to where I'm very, very comfortable with what they're telling me. So I want, it's just like meeting anybody out in the streets. You know, you like people who are like you, and those people who are like-minded, and those people who I can get the genuine sense that they're not lying are the stories that I do, which brings me back to the city of New Orleans. And the next story that you guys are going to play is the incubus story. One of the things that's going on right now in our city is this battle over Airbnb, right? So
right.
The hotels are upset because their revenues are down because people are Airbnb in their houses. Well, my neighbor, who lives across the street from me, owns several properties that he's Airbnb-ing. And the incubus story is one that he shared with me. We were playing chess and smoking cigars, and he wanted to tell me something freaky that happened to one of the people that decided to stay at his Airbnb. And it's crazy because now when you go to a hotel, although New Orleans has haunted hotels,
right?
There are significant numbers of them. Now people are actually entering other people's homes locally.
Right.
So now a lot more people are having experiences with the paranormal in this city because you're entering into another person's domain, paying, you know, whatever, $500 a night to stay in a French Quarter condo, or you're staying uptown in a house where you're paying $1,000 for the weekend.
Wow.
But now they're actually entering people's domains, and now they're having these crazy, insane paranormal encounters. And I think that's going to breathe out a lot more stories. There're going to be a lot of people having stories because, you know, it's not like, you know, there's one particular area of New Orleans that's haunted. Like, yeah, that little corner of the city is very haunted. I mean, it's pretty much everywhere. So that's one of the things that I think is going to be very, very interesting. And Airbnb, although it's a great business model, I think if you go start and read some of those reviews, you're going to be like, man, they got some crazy stuff going in New Orleans.
Yeah, especially Tim. See, now we got to keep checking TripAdvisor.
Oh, yeah.
Because if we're going to go hang out in New Orleans, I want to make sure that wherever I end up staying, there's no report of, oh, by the way, there's an incubus. Have a good time and enjoy New Orleans.
Isn't the safest place to stay a Dark's place anyway?
Yes, obviously. Yeah. Underneath his couch. That's right. The only place to be. All right, let's listen to the next story from Dark Waters. This is The Incubus.
So my wife and I decided to visit New Orleans for Thanksgiving this year. She had this bright idea of getting off the beaten path, and instead of staying in the Hyatt or the Hilton Hotel, which, by the way, I absolutely love, she wanted to Airbnb. So the house we rented was in a Bywater, which is walking distance from the French Quarters. And we were scheduled to stay in New Orleans for 4 days. And when we arrived at this property, It was absolutely amazing. Walking distance from cafes and restaurants. And it had this beautiful outdoor courtyard with a fountain. I said, this place was dope. And it was dope, like something out of a movie. Very first night, we went straight to the French Quarters and drank our asses off. Hand grenades. We spent 3 hours in Rick's Cabaret getting lap danced. We had one hell of a time. When we Ubered back to the house, it was 4 a.m. And although I was drunk off my ass, I couldn't help but notice that there was a light on in the house. Now, in the back of my mind, I knew we had turned off all the lights, except for the one on the front porch. But I was too drunk to give a damn. So we just went straight to bed. The next morning, we struggled to wake up and struggled even more to rehydrate ourselves after all the liquor we had. By the evening time, we were back at it and headed to one of the jazz clubs to see Kermit Ruffins. We had been there about a good 2 to 3 hours. And by that time, my wife was drunk all over again. I, on the other hand, chose not to drink because we went to a club in the hood. At the end of the night, when we arrived back at the house, there's a light on again. And I thought it was strange. But nonetheless, I walked my wife into the bedroom, tucked her in bed, and headed to the kitchen to get a bite of the leftover burger that I had from lunch. After eating, I laid in bed, watched a little TV, but as I lay there, I couldn't help but get this feeling that I was being watched. It was weird, and it came on all of a sudden. You know how people say they get goosebumps when something spooky's going on? Nah, this wasn't like that. It was like my skin started to crawl. I just felt uncomfortable. So with that feeling, I decided to close my eyes and go to sleep. I figured I was just tired. And as I drifted off to sleep, my attention was drawn to this vent in the floor of the room. For some reason, I felt as if there was a presence there. That feeling lasted for about 5 minutes, and then I blacked out. Later that morning, I would say about at 5:30 a.m., I was awakened to what sounded like something scratching on metal. Cindy, my wife, was still laying next to me in her drunken coma, but I knew I heard something. And this being an Airbnb, I decided to get up and take a look around, just to make sure nobody entered the house. I turned on the lights. What I saw blew my mind. Remember that vent I was telling you about? There was this black smoke or this mist coming out of it. First it rose very slowly. And then it started spinning and spiraling, and it created this upside down tornado. Then it separated into these two thin streams and started moving towards the bed. Now all this is happening in the room with the lights on. For a moment, I stood there in shock. Shit, I didn't know what to do. But that's when I realized this black mist was moving towards Cindy. I quickly jumped on the bed, grabbed her, and yanked her from under the covers. Her heels hitting the floor as I dragged her out of the bed. This violent motion woke her up. And I think I heard her. She started to scream. And while all this is going on, I watched that same black mist move straight back into the vent. Now my wife is drunken, hurt, and pissed the fuck off. But I look her dead in the eyes and say, baby, get your shit. We're going to a hotel right now. She insisted on asking me why. I told her I would explain it to her later. We grabbed as much as we could get, and we got the hell out of there. When we arrived at the hotel, I told her what I saw and what was going on. And during this conversation, she revealed something very, very frightening to me. You see, my wife thought we had made love that night, but we didn't. I had put her in bed, watched TV, and fell asleep. I'm convinced that we encountered an incubus. I never told this story to anyone, Dark Waters. But to this day, my wife will not sleep without me spooning her.
Wow. Very creepy stuff. Now, Dark, I want to know, too, with this, if people are interested in sharing their stories with you, do they only have to be in the New Orleans area or Louisiana, or do you want stories from around the world?
No, I take stories from all over the world. I mean, I talk to people all over the world. The modern technology allows me to talk to people everywhere. The furthest that I've talked to someone about a story is actually in China, and I just didn't do the story because I elected not to because it was demonic, but... that's how far the reach goes for the Dark Waters channel. I mean, so I'll take stories from anywhere.
And you said you don't like to represent the demonic stories, but isn't there an important lesson in that as well? The idea of how they get into these situations and what it takes to get them out of them?
Yeah, there's definitely an important lesson in it. Unfortunately for me, I'm afraid, and I think we've discussed my fear, and I'm not afraid, ashamed to say that I'm afraid to deal with that. But yeah, there's definitely a process that people go through when this starts happening. It's almost like they're physically and emotionally being worn and beaten down, and then it gets to the point to where the demonic activity continues to escalate. So it's like a part of themselves just starts to diminish. It's like their light starts to diminish in their personal life, where there's finances, health, relationships and things of that nature. And while that diminishes, this activity increases. But talking about like stories, getting stories from around the world, the next story that we're probably going to play is one of those stories that came from South America. And this is probably one of the most popular stories that I put out there. It's called Dogs of War. And it's actually a dog man story about this gentleman who worked in a prison that, according to him, the prison was invaded by dog men. They had been seeing these dog men around this prison for a very, very long time. And then someone shot at one of them, and they invaded the prison. Now, when I get the stories, I kind of classify them. You know, I got these stories that are 100%. I got 80s, 90s, 70s. I don't go anything less than 70s. This one, I'm 72 to 75% on this one. But I chose to do this particular story just because, from a challenging standpoint, to dramatize it, I thought it would be amazing to dramatize this story. There were a few inconsistencies in what the man said, but then he knew a little bit too much about dog man. That I thought he there's certain stuff that he knew that I know from doing research and talking to people who were like very, very deep into it, that he just couldn't know. I mean, these things you just shouldn't know unless you've had encounters with them and you dealt with them. So Dogs of War is a very, very great story. People are going to enjoy it. They're going to love it. And I think you guys are going to get a kick out of this when you hear.
Well, I want to know, with the idea of dog men, usually I've heard just these solo stories. In this one, you say there's like a pack. Is that very rare, or do you hear a lot of stories where they move in groups of more than one?
Oh, I've heard plenty of stories where they move in groups more than one. I've heard stories, and there's just these different classifications, but the two different types that I hear consistently about is this one that's more of like a Bigfoot type. It's huge, the size of a Bigfoot with a giant wolf head. That is the one that moves alone, and that is it's singular, and it's always alone. And that's one that completely terrorizes people. Then there's these smaller, slim ones that run in packs, like any other wolf pack. So this particular story is about those smaller, slim ones that actually were moving in a pack and were around the area of this prison, which was a wooded area. And somebody decided they were going to shoot at them, and things went crazy. It went crazy, absolutely crazy.
And where does this story take place?
Argentina.
Argentina. Wow. So you are getting stories from all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Getting from all over the world. So I get stories from all over the world.
And are the encounters pretty close to how they are in the United States and other places in the world? Or are there pretty significant changes in even the personality of these creatures?
There are some changes in the personalities of the creatures based on the geographical locations. Down here in the South, you find them to be a little bit more aggressive than, like, when you talk about the Michigan dog man, where they seem like they just scare people. But down here in the South, the people that I'm talking to, they are way, 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 way more aggressive. This down here in the South, when we say the South, I mean Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida. This southeastern region, you find people who are having encounters where they're at their windows, they're by their cars, they're pretty much doing much more aggressive things on top of people's roofs. So it's one of those things to where it's frightening down here as opposed to up north. And I've talked to people like Luna Godfrey extensively. We compared kind of notes on some of the encounters that I have versus the things that she has. And it's like vice versa. Some of the stuff that she has versus some of the stuff that I have. And I can't make any sense of it, but hey, it is what it is. I mean, I take it for what it is. These are stories that people share with me. I'm not there with them, so I'm not experiencing it with them, but that's the information that I'm getting.
Well, and if they're getting more aggressive, the more south you go, you don't get much further south than Argentina. So
right.
If you're running into a case like this, it must just be the massive amount of heat, Tim. That's my guess.
It'd make me, Ollie.
Walking around with all that dog fur on, you got to be a little crabby.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it. Our next story this evening, Dogs of War.
Tonight on the Dark Waters channel, we embark on another journey into a place where myth meets reality, where monsters exist, demons dwell, and shadows abound. Tonight, we, the Dark Waters channel, proudly presents the Dogs of War.
I was awakened from what I thought was a dream by my nurse, a beautiful woman with the softest hands I'd ever felt. ¿Cómo te sientes? She said in Spanish. How are you feeling? I feel fine, I replied. At least I thought I was feeling fine at the moment. However, I wasn't sure how I got in the hospital. The last thing I remember was being at work at the prison. Looking up at her, I said, why am I here? There was a riot at the prison, and you were injured. You don't remember anything? Scratching my head, I thought, I remember yesterday morning. I remember having lunch. Chicken quesadillas my girlfriend had prepared. But that was it. Lying there, I could even visualize the faces of the men I worked with, but I couldn't quite remember their names. You know that feeling you have when the word you're looking for is right on the edge of your tongue, but you just can't remember it? That's exactly how I was feeling about everything. Also, just beneath it, there was something else. This overwhelming sense of fear, like something had gone terribly wrong. Part of me wanted to get out of the hospital bed and run as far away as I could, but I didn't know why. When I went to move my right leg, oh my God, the pain. Looking down, I had stitches from my inner thigh clear around to the other side of my leg. And as hard as I tried, I couldn't remember what happened to me. I looked up at the nurse and said, what is wrong with my leg? She went on to explain to me that I had deep lacerations and had lost a lot of pints of blood. Then she looked me square in the eye and said, sir, you're lucky to be alive. Little did I know at that moment that things were about to get a lot worse. She then told me my family was eager to see me. But before she could let them in, there were some men that I needed to talk to. Tell them everything you know, she said, and things will be just fine. As soon as they're done, you can see your family. Now, at this time, I'm at a complete loss. Men from where? Maybe my job? What happened? 10 minutes later, she walked back into the room with two men. I noticed one gently touched her on the arm and smiled just before she walked out of the door. They exchanged this glance that was not one of people who are strangers, but a glance of someone who knew each other. At that moment, it didn't make sense. But I did notice it. One was a very tall black man, lean and muscular. Another one was this short, pudgy white fellow. The black guy wore black dress slacks, a vest, and a white shirt. No tie, no jacket. It seemed as if he had been waiting so long that he decided to take off the rest of his clothes. The white guy was wearing a button-up guayabera. He still had crust in his eyes, like he had just woken up and rushed out of the house or something. Now, these two men, they were intense. I mean, they had this look about them, like they had seen it all. And this eerie calm to them, like nothing I've ever felt. When you know there's something bubbling just under the surface, that's what I felt with them. The black guy started off by saying, do you remember anything from the prison riot? How did it start? Honestly, at that moment, I couldn't remember anything. Then he opened up a folder, began to read out loud my life stories. He had information about me, my parents, my brother, how long I've been down in South America, all the way down to my ex-girlfriend's name, and that she left me for an American, got her green card, then divorced him. Then he handed me this brown envelope, said, take a look at these and see what you can remember. Oh my God. The images that I saw, like something from a slaughterhouse. Severed limbs, decapitated bodies, blood splattered all over the walls. Instantly, my stomach began to turn and my esophagus filled as I felt nauseous. Do you remember any of this? What happened? He started depressing me. But again, apart from the fact that I was about to vomit, I wasn't sure what the hell he was talking about. The only thing that felt real to me at this moment was that these two men were strangers who clearly worked for some other government than mine and were drilling me. After about a solid 30 minutes of questioning, they both got up and walked out, leaving me feeling relieved and also wondering why. Why are they here? Why would it be over a prison ride? A few minutes later, the pain in my leg became unbearable. So I said to the nurse and she gave me a sedative that put me straight to sleep. I woke the next morning and my father was at my bedside. Dad looked worried. He went on to explain to me that two men had come to the house and asked him questions about me and my job. In the first 60 seconds, I knew exactly who he was talking about. I realized it was the same two men who had visited me in the hospital just yesterday. This had to be serious. So my father left. I sat there in silence, trying to remember what happened that day. Slowly, things started coming back to me. I remember walking the fences that morning while the prisoners were on the yard, and two of the inmates talking about perras de guerra, or dogs of war. They said they had saw them. That day, all the convicts were talking about the same thing. That one memory opened the floodgates to the rest of my memories. The night guards had been talking about seeing large black dogs outside of the gates of the prison at night, so large that they were afraid to shoot. Well, that evening, while I was making my rounds around the inner gate, shit went to hell in a handbasket as one of the tower guards decided to take a shot at a smaller black dog. Before you knew it, they were rushing the fences. I saw one of them stand up on his two hind legs. This thing was massive. Within seconds, they had broken down the gates and were flooding into the compound. I turned and ran to cell block C. It just opened the door when I felt a sharp pain on my right leg. It felt like I had been tackled by something huge. My body flew, hitting the nearby metal stairway. As I lay there in pain, I saw these dogs coming into the cell block. Some on all fours, others walking upright. I remember my friend Pedro firing shots at one of them before taking off running. Somehow, the prisoners got out of their cells. Vision grew dark quickly, as if someone was turning out the lights. That was all I could remember. Later that night, the two men returned and questioned me again. I told them what I saw, but I didn't know exactly what it was. I figured it was best to keep using the excuse that I couldn't remember, but I remembered everything.
And we're back here. Those stories that you're collecting and put together, you weren't kidding. That was really a great one to share with the audience. And again, if you like what you're hearing and you want to know more about these stories, you want to get more immersive into the situation, well, Dark Waters has made it as easy as he possibly can because he's got a YouTube channel where you can hear all the stories you just heard and many, many more by joining his YouTube channel, subscribing right now. Tell them how they can find you.
All you need to do is go to YouTube and type in Dark Waters channel and it will pop up at this time. There's so many videos out there. You'll find it with no problem. You can go to darkh201.com and find the website. If you want to laugh and really be entertained, follow my Facebook page, my fan page, because I'm always going back and forth with people on that one. And then Twitter at darkh201. So I'm out there pretty heavy. If you just Google Dark Waters channel, it'll pop up everything you need.
Right. We've got a link right here. If you check it out at podcastone.com or even at your iTunes, you'll see the guest link. And you can always go over to darknessradio.com where you can stream the last three shows right from our front page. It'll give you links to the archives. And you can click on our guest tab to get information on all the guests that we have on the show. And that way you'll keep up with Dark Waters and all the tales that he shares as well. We're coming in, boy, already the show's wrapping up here quick on us. Of course, it helps, Tim. You don't have to do as much work when we've got the great audio that Dark is presenting for us.
Absolutely.
We've got one last story to share that we'll do here in a little bit. But before we go into that, what are some of the new titles and some of the new subjects that you're really starting to research heavy into, Dark?
Well, I'm really starting to get, and I'm again, this is one of the things that I'm afraid of. I hate saying I'm afraid, but it's the honest truth. I'm really starting to touch on the hoodoo and voodoo a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Down here, I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but I studied Aikido for a very long time. Well, in the martial arts community, there's a martial arts instructor who's actually a hoodoo witch doctor is what we call him. I met with him recently and started talking to him about some of the stories about hoodoo. And he's been listening to the Dark Waters channel now for about 3 weeks. And he called me, today's Thursday, he called me Tuesday and said, hey, man, I think I'm willing to share some stories with you and spread some information. So I'm getting ready to get into the whole hoodoo voodoo thing, partially because of my family and I want to know more about it. And also because I think that's a part of our culture here that's not being shared. Unfortunately, the scary thing about it is, you know, when you're dealing with people who deal with those type of stuff, you got to be very, very careful and especially respectful when you deal with those people. You really have to be. So that's the one thing that I'm really getting into. And then another thing I'm going to do with your permission is over the next couple of months, I really want to recreate your encounter that you had, the one that you shared with me on Coast to Coast. When you guys and your friends were out in the woods and you heard those what sound like 100 dogs barking.
Sure.
I mean, think about doing that one. I think I'm going to do that one and send it over to you just so you can have it and you can hear it. I think that would be a good one to recreate.
I'd love to. Yeah, that'd be great to be a part of the Dark Waters history and show. So thank you for incorporating my story. And I'll be happy to recount that with you and let you know what you need to know so you can whip out one of your brilliant stories here. We've got, you know, we've been having a lot of fun doing the Theater of the Mind episodes, kind of throwing back to the old 30s and 40s radio with our little excerpts and some of the stories, our favorite stories from listeners that have to do with the different topics that we're dealing with. And each week, you know, we're trying to find a story related to some of these cases that we're covering on each episode. How do you, you know, like the next story that we're going to hear is what do you know about death? What about this story specifically drew your attention that this was one you knew you wanted to share on the Dark Waters channel?
Well, that gentleman, I have been talking to him for a very, very long time. When I say a very long time, I think I've been doing this for about a solid year now. He called me about 6 months ago, and he just called to talk. You know, just he was one of those people that called to ask questions, and he and I have just been going back and forth. He would periodically call once a month. And so he calls me, and he says, hey, man, you know, I'm getting ready to move into this house, but there's something weird about it. And I was like, well, what? So, well, you know, it's the rent's very cheap. And it seems like the last people, everything that everybody's told me is that the last family that lived there left in the middle of the night. And I'm like, well, you know, that doesn't mean anything. Anything could have happened. Somebody could have broken the house and neighbor could be bad. He's like, I don't know. I'm going to keep you informed, but this one seems like it's kind of weird. Well, a couple of weeks pass, and he calls me back. He says, hey, man, we finally moved to the house. Things are going well. I just want you to know everything's all right. Yada, 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 yada. We're talking, you know, just shooting the breeze. Then he calls me back again. He said, oh, nope, things are not all right in this house. And this is his exact words. Things are not all right in this house. I'm going to tell you about it once we get it squared away. Then he calls me after they've moved out and starts telling me what happened. I said, you moved out of the house? He said, oh, no, we're gone. We're gone. No, we are absolutely gone. And what happened was him and his wife and kids were there. They were having no problems at all. He's in a beer pong league, and one of his friends goes through a divorce and all this crazy stuff. So they figure, hey, this guy can help us with the rent. You know, he can rent a room. Well, as soon as that man moved in their house, they started having paranormal activity. And it escalates to where this guy has an encounter with a shadow man that actually asks him a question. What do you know about death? And it's a very spooky encounter. I really like the guy who shared the story with me, and that's what made me share this particular story. He's a cool dude. He really is.
All right. Well, here we go. What do you know about death?
Six months ago, we moved into a new house. We had outgrown our old place, and this new house was perfect. Now, in hindsight, I should have known something was off. The rent was low, the neighborhood was perfect, and it just was too picturesque. But we were in need of a blessing at this time. And so in my mind and my family's mind, this house was a blessing to us. The day we were moving our stuff in, the guy next door came over for a chat. And during small talk, he kind of slid in the fact that no one had been able to stay in the house for more than a year. Also, that everyone who had once lived in the house left in the middle of the night. Now, before your mind begins to wonder, yes, absolutely, I found this information to be disturbing. But like I said, This house was a dream for us. I wasn't going to let the creepy neighbor scare me away. Things went well for us for about the first 6 months. The wife and kids were happy, and so was I. As a hobby, I played in a beer pong league. I've been doing this for about 10, 15 years, along with my best friend Ron. Well, suddenly, Ron fell on some hard times. Problems on the job, problems at home with his wife, and he found himself in trouble. So my wife and I opened up our home to him, for a small fee, of course. Duck Waters, remember I was telling you about some of the strange occurrences in my house? After Ron moved in, all the strange shit started happening. Now, it would take a while before I experienced anything myself, but when I did, it was small stuff, like footsteps in the hallways, doors opening and closing on their own. However, Ron? Man, he was having issues, and it seemed like all the activity was focused on him. One morning, when my wife and I went downstairs for breakfast, we found him in the corner of the living room, knees hugged to his chest, his eyes wide open and his blank staring shaking. It took nearly 2 hours to get him to talk, and when he did, what he said was enough to get my wife and I to start praying again. You see, Ron had been lying on the sofa watching TV. And as he began to doze off, for some reason, something made him open his eyes. And when he did, there was this figure standing over him. It was jet black, and his head reached the ceiling of the room, and the eyes, they were this fiery red color. This shadow creature was solid black, and it was looking away from him. Ron told me that initially he thought he was dreaming, so he began to wipe his eyes. And as he removed his fingers from his eyes, that's when it looked down at him, and he heard it say,
"What do you know about death?"
Now, of course, I thought my guy Ron was tripping, but he insisted that this sound was not in his head and that this thing stood there looking down at him. Ron closed his eyes again, praying that it was nothing more than a dream. And then when he opened them, it was bent over, face to face with him. That's when he rolled over on his stomach, pushed his face into the sofa, and began to pray. A few minutes later, he rolled back over. There was nothing there, but he could feel this presence in the room. So he moved to the corner, put his back against the wall. And that's how my wife and I found him the next morning. Knees to his chest, eyes wide open, with the sickest look of fright and fear in his eyes that I'd ever seen. After that night, my wife and I helped Ron get an apartment and moved him out of our house. And since he's been gone, the activity has stopped.
Yeah, put me in the nope category, Tim.
No?
No creepy shadow people talking to me. I'm out. Dark, we're running out of time here, and I love the audio that you shared with us this evening. Thank you so much for doing that and bringing it to our audience. But I also love hearing you tell some of these tales. Before we wrap up for the evening, what is one of your favorite stories that you've heard recently that you have yet to showcase as a full-blown audio docudrama on the Dark Waters channel?
That's this gentleman who had a dog man encounter. Him and his best friend were riding in a car, and they were headed to his friend's house. And so they pull up in the driveway of his friend's house, and one of them gets out, which is the friend. He's going in the house to grab something out. And the gentleman's sitting in the driveway, and for whatever reason, he looks through his rearview mirror. And as he's looking through the rearview mirror, there's a light across the street, and there's this heavily wooded area on the opposite side of it, that beyond that light. And he sees this dog man step out of the trees into the light. And it's not looking at him per se, but it's looking in his direction. But he's like, "I didn't feel like it was looking at me." He said, but as he's sitting there looking through the rearview mirror, it's kind of scanning his head left to right, looking around. And then he goes to move, and he bumps the window with his elbow. And he was like, "Dog, you know, I bumped the window, but I didn't bump it like, bam." He said, "I just bumped it." He said, "Man, that thing honed in on me." And he said, "We locked eyes through the rearview mirror." And I was like, "Well, come on, man. Maybe you were being paranoid. Maybe." And he's like, "No, the thing was looking at me." And I was like, "Well, what did you do?" He was like, "As it's looking at me through the mirror, I'm seeing my friend come out of the front door of the house." He's like, "So I drive up on the lawn to the new, almost cut the wheel, drive up on the lawn, start screaming at him, telling him to get in the car, get in the car, get in the car." And he's like, his friend is like, "What are you doing, man? You're messing up my lawn." He says, "Get in the car." I can't use the language because it's ready. He says, "Get in the car." The guy gets in the car. He speeds out of there and gets down the street. Well, he tells his friend what happened as they're driving away. And the friend says, well, you know what, man? My neighbors have been talking about seeing the exact same thing, the exact same creature. And that's one of the most recent Dogman stories that I've had. And this is one of those ones that I believe is 100% because I actually talked to him and I talked to the friend. Everything, I talked to him separately at different times. Everything is succinct and everything coincides. And that's probably one of the most recent ones that I've had. And I really think that's a great story. I haven't had a chance to do it yet, but it's a great story.
Well, we always appreciate chatting with you, Dark, and I appreciate you jumping on with us and spending an evening here sharing some of your favorite news stories. And as always, the invitation is open. Our door is always here for you. When you've got some new stories, you've got some new creepers that you know are going to get into the heads of our listeners, I hope you'll reach out to us and share them on the show again.
I got you, buddy. I appreciate you guys, and I love you, and appreciate you having me here.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Dark Waters. Again, you guys, go check out our website at darknessradio.com. Click on the guest tab, and you'll find links to listen to Dark Waters and all the great stories that he shares. That's it for this week, man. Boy, another week went by like that, Tim. It's like one day passes and all week's gone.
Oh, yeah?
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Wow, time to learn how to slow down time. But because of the advent of podcasting, you get a chance to do that because you can keep going back and listening to these shows all weekend long. Share them with your friends. Share them with your neighbors. Share them with loved ones. Let people know about the best in paranormal talk radio. Here on the Jericho Network, part of Podcast One, we are the best in paranormal talk radio. Special thanks to our guest for the evening, Dark Waters, and all the great people that shared their stories with him to share with us. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Beyond the Darkness.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.